Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Super excited today because we're talking about multi-site, and I love talking multi-site. Today, we're honored to have Bo Jensen with us. He's from LifePoint Church. This is a fantastic church that you should get a chance to be tracking along with. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the country, a church in Tennessee, but also they have a couple other things going on in Texas and Washington, all kinds of cool stuff going on. Bo is the North Clarksville campus pastor. So glad to have you on today, Pastor Bo.
Man, it's an honor. It's a privilege. Thanks for inviting me to be a part.
No, this will be good. Why don't you tell us, for people who don't know, kind of tell us a little bit about LifePoint and then tell us about your campus specifically.
Well, LifePoint Church was originally a church plant from a church in Nashville, and it went through a rough transition about 7-8 years ago where they had a moral failure. And then our lead pastor, Mike Burnett, came here, took it over. His first service was actually on a Wednesday, and he had about 80 people. And then he went to the Grow Conference. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he went to that, absolutely. came back, implemented the growth track, the dream team, and it just gradually started growing pretty fast from there. And so we've gone from when he launched that Wednesday night with 80 people to we're averaging around 4,000, you know, on Sundays.
That's fantastic. Tell us specifically about your campus. Give us, like, when did it launch? Give us a bit of the complexion of it. What would, you know, when people were to arrive this weekend, what would they experience?
So we launched that campus on September 17th, 2017. And a little bit of the backstory is I wanted to plant a church in North Clarksville. I went through the ARC. I went through the Associated Related Churches, went through their coaching, got approved. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the ARC conference, I actually ran into Pastor Mike, who is the lead pastor of LifePoint, and we just kind of hit it off. And he said, hey, why don't we do this thing together? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Let's meet up again. And so I, over the course
didn't take no for an answer.
he didn't, which I thought was, honestly, I was a little taken back by it because I was like, well, this is a fast growing church. I really didn't know how to take it at first. But then after some time and talking with him, I was like, you know, I think I'd be silly not to try this opportunity with him. And so we launched in September of 2017, and we've had challenges, but it's been great, man. We're real close to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is the Army base here locally. And it's been awesome. We're set up in takedown. So we typically set up on Friday nights, and then we have our services on Sunday mornings. But, you know, it's a middle school, so it's a campus. There's an elementary, middle, and high school. And guests come in from a kind of a main road, and we try to have all our signage ready for those people, to our guests to come in, and we welcome them with our dream team. And it's basically same culture that we have at our Rossview campus. We've just transported it into a mobile service at the West Creek Middle School.
That's cool. Give us a sense of, you know, the service. Are you guys doing video teaching? Is it live teaching? Are you, you know, I'm assuming it's a full band. You're offering all your kids environments. Yeah, so give us a sense of the kind of what you
have. We have all our Kid Point that we have at our Rossview campus. We also have live worship. And then I actually am the live communicator most Sundays. And what we do, Pastor Mike and I, we meet with another team, a group of team of pastors on Tuesday mornings at 7:30. And we go over our message for the Sunday coming up. We get our, basically our 3 points going, and we're expository preaching pretty much 9 out of the 12 months of the year. So we pretty much know where we're headed in each Sunday, but we get together, we go over those. By Wednesday, we solidify our 3 points. By Friday, Pastor Mike and I get together, we go over the message, we kind of practice it together. And it's a kind of a great rhythm that we've kind of found. And then occasionally we will have a video. Anytime we have a guest speaker at our Rossview campus, we will have a live video of that at both of our services, our 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. service. And then occasionally we'll have Pastor Mike either live, or we will have him on video as well.
That's cool. So, yeah, that's amazing. That's really good to hear. It's always fun to hear kind of a little bit inside, you know, multi-site church, and the way you've, you know, set it up. You guys do Growth Track. Do you do that every weekend or do you do a couple weekends a month? What does that look like?
So we've actually transitioned Growth Track from 4 steps to 2 steps, and we're actually launching that in April, but we do it every Sunday. We do not take a break. We only take a break for Easter. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So we just keep it going.
So you, when you go to two, you're just literally going to go 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and they can enter really at 1 or 2, or they can only come in through 1.
They can only come in through 1. However, we are going to have it where we have 2 separate classrooms where 1 and 2 is offered every Sunday.
Oh, so you can. Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's really neat. Yeah, for folks that are listening in, obviously we've had, you know, obviously a part of what we're trying to do is talk with churches that are fast growing. And there is no doubt that, you know, the kind of a Growth Track approach, whether it's specifically Growth Track or things that are, you know, kind of modified off of that approach are really common in a lot of churches. And so I love hearing that little bit of a nuanced difference. And so you're doing that just in a classroom, basically, at, you know, in the school. You have 2 different classrooms.
We have 2 different classrooms. Back and forth. Yes, sir. And part of the reason why we're doing that is because we do live in a military community. So we'll have couples that move to Clarksville. They're going to be here for about 3 years. And generally it takes them a little while to get into Growth Track. And if they miss a step, you know, it could be 3 months before you get them on a team. So we're trying to get them on a team as quickly as possible. So we reevaluated the whole Growth Track 4 steps and we condensed it to 2 steps for that very reason, to get more of our, basically more of our potential dream teamers on a dream team and through Growth Track.
That's cool. What's the attendance like at the North Clarksville campus?
Currently we average between our 2 services about 400.
That's great. That's really cool. That's neat. Well, I know there might be people that are listening in who, and we were talking about this before we get started. A lot of times when I end up talking to churches that are thinking about going multi-site, I'm a huge, you know, portable fan, huge, you know, mobile church fan. I've done a ton of campuses that are in portable locations, but there is, can be a kind of natural resistance to that for one reason or another. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, what you're learning on kind of doing portable well, what you're learning about doing mobile well. What would you say to a friend who'd say, hey, we're thinking about launching a campus. What are some of those lessons that we need to learn to launch a mobile campus well?
I think number one is you have to embrace being flexible, because wherever you're mobile, you're going to have the tension of, you know, whoever owns the facility or whoever you're using their facility. So for example, we're at the school. So we typically set up on a Friday night. But, you know, the school might have an event to where we have to set up on a Sunday morning. And so you just have to be able to adjust and you have to be able to communicate. And we have found that the one person that we, or the group of people that we really want to know well, is our custodians, because they're the ones that are letting us in the building. So we try to go over the top with blessing them. We try to make them like they're part of our dream team. So once a month, what we do is we give our whole entire setup team tacos, but we invite the custodians to be a part of that as well. And in addition to that, we our head custodian, I have his number. I call him. I call him about once a month, if not more than that, just to check in with him. Is there anything that we can do on our end to make this smoother, better for you? What are we doing that we can improve on to help just the facility stay fresh, stay clean? So we're just trying to keep that dialogue going with the school and specifically the custodians, because we want to make them happy, to be honest with you, because they're our advocate to continue to stay in the school. And I think just keeping that culture in front of our dream team, just that it's exciting to be there on a Friday night. It doesn't take us that long. If everybody's coming and doing their part, we can have an amazing Sunday. And so we try to say this, Friday is very practical. That helps us have a spiritual Sunday.
Oh, that's good.
And so the spiritual always, or the practical always makes way for the spiritual.
Yeah, that's very good. I love the, can give us a bit of an inside look on the Friday night. What does that actually look like? Obviously, it's like you say, sometimes you're providing tacos. How long is that typically taking? What does that process look like? Do you have team leaders? How does that look?
We do. So each area, so for example, we have a lobby area. We have a serve team or dream team area. We have our auditorium, which is our production worship team, and our kid point areas. Each team is in charge of setting up their area. And so each one of those teams has a leader, and then that leader delegates or assigns roles. For example, our lobby team, we have a lot of pipe and drape that we set up. And so they come up, and that's all those people that are assigned or to those tasks of setting up pipe and drape. That's all they do when they come on Friday night. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything else than the lobby. So they'll come in. We actually have couches, we have rugs, we have tables that we all set up in the lobby. So they come in and we unload. We have a 18-wheeler truck that the school has allowed us to keep on their back dock, which is a humongous blessing.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
It's a huge blessing. And we have everything on wheels. And so about 4:30 on Friday, the school allows us to start. We have a team that gets there takes everything off the truck. So we bring it all, and they know which each area, where things go. Everything's labeled on those carts. So they just place it, everything. And then about 5 o'clock, our team starts strolling in. And they get there at various different times because people get off at various different times. And honestly, I know that this is going to maybe sound crazy, but we can have that whole entire school set up by 5:45.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's taken us a while to get there.
Yes, but that wasn't day one like that.
Right, but it's amazing how quick and efficient we've become.
Now, why? So this is going to be insider baseball thing. So I've done a lot of portable church. Why are you choosing to do that on Friday night rather than compressing it all into Sunday morning?
Man, that's a great question. So I've actually done both. We've experimented it with both. We first launched doing it every Friday, and then we come in on Sunday, and then we went to every Sunday morning for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I think the tension that we felt was that we were so task oriented on a Sunday morning that we forgot about people on Sunday morning. And so we were scrambling a little bit, just trying to, as a team, trying to get everything right, that it was impeding on our, because we want to be focused strictly on people on Sunday.
Right.
And so that was where I was like, you know what, we need to pull that back and do it on a Friday night week and let that just be the real practical. But on Sunday we can walk in. And the other thing is that a lot of our families, they have a husband that's deployed, and when he comes back or he goes to training, when he comes back into town, they want to come to church together as a family. They want to serve together as a family. And so it just made it easier for our families and our teams to do it on a Friday night versus a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I'm assuming you then tear down on Sunday afternoon kind of
we
thing.
Do.
Or some sort of process. Yeah, where you take that all down before kids come back to school on Monday.
We do. And the great thing is during spring break, during the summer, during various different seasons, the school will let us know, the custodians will let us know, hey, you can keep everything up. You know, we're not going to use this area this week, so you can keep everything up. So that is a huge blessing as well.
Yeah, that's a good tip for churches that are doing portable or thinking about portable is, yeah, typically in schools, you'll find there'll be multiple weeks during the year I've had campuses where they'll say, just leave it up all summer. Like they, put your stage stuff, as long as the stage stuff is kind of behind the curtain, you're not going to be in our way at all. And then we might have to take it down for a week or something when they actually clean or paint the stage. But besides that, which is fantastic.
Real cool thing that we've been able to partner with the school with is they don't have a very good sound system at all. And so oftentimes they will ask us, will we come in and set up our sound system during the week for an assembly that they have? And then they'll be like, just leave it up. And that is a huge blessing as well. And it gives us relational equity with the school. They love the fact that we're so willing to bless them. And so it's just been a great partnership.
That's fantastic. That's great. Now, when you think about kind of the kind of transmission of what it means to be LifePoint to your people. What are you learning on that front that, you know, you've talked a little bit about that, but what are some other ways that you're kind of helping your people come along with what it means to be LifePoint or to be a LifePointer? How are you doing that?
I think through our huddles, our what I would call our huddles is our dream team huddles. And that's where, you know, for our first service, it's a specific time that we meet at Dream Team Central, which is about 8:45 on Sunday morning. And we get there and we just go over. So we have seven core values, and it's love God, love people, grow intentionally, pursue excellence, choose joy, develop leaders, and give generously. And I typically will choose one of those seven things, and I will relate it to their serving, relate it to how something throughout the week, and try to encourage them and try to inject our culture. And so we have a, so when it comes to love people, we are people over policy. And so I just try to inject that. And then in addition to that, we have our coaches that lead all these various different teams. And so we go from a all team huddle to all the different dream team huddles. And then it's reiterated into those dream team huddles. And then our role leaders pass it down to dream teamers. And we're just constantly trying to inject our values and our culture. How does it feel? If it feels awkward to you, then it's going to feel awkward to a guest. So we're always trying to eliminate that awkward tension and try to create an atmosphere that's welcoming and inviting.
That's cool. So you do an all team rally kind of experience every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
That's amazing. That's great. And then from there, you know, I'm assuming you're kind of handling the vision. Where are we heading? And then when they kind of trickle down into their individual area, they might get a bit more tactical. Here are the things we need to think about. Is that generally how that works?
That is exactly how it works. Yep. So we have our dream team coaches will hit, you know, here's the three things that we want to concentrate today in our specific area. Like production, they'll go through the order of service. Ushers will say, here's the three things that we want to make sure that we are aware of and that we do today. You know, if it's like a Sunday where we're taking communion, you know, they would go over those three things. Kid Point, they would have a specific three things that they're looking for, check in, all those various different things.
So I can play a bit of a devil's advocate here because I, sure. First of all, I think what's that total time would you say from the beginning of when the dream team huddle, the kind of all team huddle starts to when they're kind of ready to say, okay, now we're ready to receive guests.
What's that look like? 8:45 it's less than 5 minutes. So from 8:45 to 8:50, we want them at their next huddle, but no later than 8:55, 9 o'clock.
Okay, so it's a 15-20 minute investment kind of thing every Sunday.
Yeah, but what we do is we have a serve team, dream team. I'm sure a lot of churches have this, but we're providing them breakfast, so that's an incentive for them to get there. We don't care. Hey, bring your kids in there. Kids don't bother us. We love having kids a part of that. And it is actually shifted since we implemented it. It's shifted our culture. I mean, it's just really been a game changer for us, that all team huddle.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a best practice, whether you're, you know, mobile or not, but I think particularly in the mobile side, I think we can get them caught up in, like you talked about, the kind of logistics side of it and lose the fact that there's people in front of us. On the devil's advocate thing, let's say I'm like, listen, I just don't really want to invest that. What would you say to a church leader and say, I'm not sure that I can, you know, give the time, effort, and energy to invest that every weekend? You know, talk a little bit about the difference it's made and why you would encourage us to do that every week.
Well, I think that you have a limited amount of time with your dream teamers as it is. You know, if your service is an hour, 30 minutes, I mean, that's really not a lot of time throughout the week, just in a service time. And I think you need to capitalize as much time as you can to inject your culture. And you as the campus pastor or the pastor in general, you're the leader of the culture. You set the tone. And so when we first launched, we just had our individual huddles. And I think a mistake that I made was I just wasn't empowering and I wasn't injecting our culture as much in those individual culture or those coaches and leaders. And so once I modeled how I felt like a huddle should be, it gave them another model of how they could do their huddles. And so it's just constantly injecting, because we've probably all heard this, but you know, our culture leaks, right? Mm-hmm. And vision leaks as well. Mm-hmm. So people are going out throughout the rest of, you know, it's not like us, you know, we're church junkies. We love this stuff, but you know, the guy that's, you know, on the back 40 at Fort Campbell, that's in the field, he's not probably thinking about, hey, this Sunday, you know, we got to just reemphasize our values and go over them. And it may seem redundant to us, but it's not redundant to them. I guarantee it. Mm,
that's very good. Well, changing directions a little bit, I'd love to hear a little bit about the leadership pipeline at your church. I know you guys do a really good job moving people from kind of sitting in the seats all the way up through serving. And then obviously the only reason why you have so many team leaders and all that is because you've been able to do that. Can you give us a bit of an inside look at how that's working within your campus?
Sure. It's kind of new, but what mm-hmm. we have found is that, a lot of churches are pointing people to Growth Track to get on a dream team. However, once they get on a dream team, we don't necessarily have a systematic way for them to take their next step. So we're always saying, hey, take your next step. Here's your next step. But what is their next step when they have this desire to grow in their leadership? And so we basically have this top to bottom, all the way to the lead pastor, a step by step. And we have these four areas that we want people to grow in. And that's in our culture, our vision, discipleship, stewardship, and development. Now, what we have done is we have utilized Right Now Media to basically mm-hmm. track that and even point people to those trainings that we have online. And so, for example, if somebody gets on, let's just say, for example, like the usher team, they're a dream teamer on that team, but we really see that they have the potential to be a leader. We're going to have our role leader really encourage that dream teamer who's just he or she is serving on that team. They've gone through Growth Track. They've gone through what we would call our three things dream team orientation, which is basically how do you use Plan a Center? Where's serve team check in? And then understanding their role and relationship with their role leader. And so what we have found is that without a systematic way for them to grow, they don't know what's expected of them. And they just aimlessly basically serve. And then what we do is, prior to this being implemented, is we're just trying to fill in gaps. Mm. And we want to eliminate filling in gaps. Right. We want to be able to lead people to where if somebody... and I'm using this term called PCS. That's basically when the military says your time at Fort Campbell is over. You're now going to move to Fort Lewis. We now have enough people that have come through the leadership pipeline that we just, the next person is basically, it's the kind of the next man up or next woman up,
right?
You know? And so you eliminate your gaps. And so what we use is Right Now Media. And so that dream teamer and that role leader, the role leader is just encouraging all the dream teamers to go online, to watch these short little videos. It could be even some teachings. And so each one, there's a culture, there's a discipleship, there's a stewardship, and then there's a development. So that development could be like a Craig Rochelle podcast. And then once they go through that and they complete each level, so we have dream team member, role leader, a service coach, all the way up to a coordinator, a director of a department, and then pastoral staff and an executive team or executive pastoral team. What we do is we have they watch those videos, and then we have a open-ended questions for each one of them to see how are they processing the information that they're viewing and listening to. And it also gives us a gauge. Are they just blowing by this stuff just to kind of say that they've done it?
Right. Yes.
Or are they really processing it? Are they really getting this down? Are they really growing? So it's a measurement tool that we can see growth with in that individual. And then it's also a way that we can encourage people, because our vision is to launch more campuses. And we just value raising up people within our church. And in order to plant more campuses, and especially in areas like Fort Lewis and Fort Bliss, where these other soldiers are moving to, we've got to start raising up leaders, and we have to have a systematic way to point them, to their, so they can progress, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah, that's very cool. That's great. You know, kind of, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning, but we talked a little bit about Growth Track. Can you tell us a bit about how, so I know we talked about kind of going from 4 weeks to 2 weeks doing, you know, both on the same week, which I think is great. Like offering every weekend. One of the sticking points that I hear from churches a lot on Growth Track is, you know, we're only having, you know, four people this weekend, or we're only had six people or 10 people. It doesn't matter what the number is. They always seem to complain about there's not enough people in Growth Track. What are you learning on that front to kind of keep that pipeline full, people, you know, in that kind of front end of the funnel of your leadership pathway? What does that look like for you guys?
Well, I think also there's ebbs and flows and seasons that we have. So, for example, the last two weekends, we've been in spring break. And so our Growth Track numbers are not going to be as – so we had like two people in Growth Track at our campus the last two weekends. But the last 4 weekends prior to that, we had 10 people, which I think is – because you're wanting that 1% of your attendance. I think that's about right.
Yep.
And so I just think, man, if you are having people show up to Growth Track, that's a win. And I don't think you should say you only had four people. I think you should say, man, we had four people in Growth Track.
Yep. Yeah. And the thing to underline for folks about, you know, Growth Track or these kind of regular, you know, entryway kind of connection experiences is it's actually good to have a smaller number at these. That 1% somewhere in there is good, because what that does, what we're finding is there's a high conversion ratio out of those experiences into the next step. And so what you want to do is actually get that number small enough that your leaders can get face to face with these people as much as possible, right? So, you know, when you have just 10 people in the room, your leader, or two people in the room, your whoever's leading that, if we can keep them energized and fired up for it, you know, they'll do a much better job of actually then getting those people to take an up step. You do that week in, week out, it makes a huge difference over a year.
Sure. We have a couple that always host, for example, we have this one couple, and they host for the two steps. They will host both steps,
right?
And so the people that are coming in there see the same person for both those steps.
Okay,
when we did it with four steps, it would be the same couple for those 4 weeks. So those people that were coming in, they have the same familiar face. They make a connection with that person that hopefully, you know, and makes a relational connection where they're like, hey, I want to go back to Growth Track because I want to talk to Carlos, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so that's something that we have found that really helps Growth Track, is having a consistency of those dream teamers being in there. It's a familiar face. It's not a different person every week.
Yeah. And are you guys doing a part of that content via video, or is it all them just teaching live, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So step one is a combination. It's Pastor Mike, our lead pastor, teaching various different segments, but it's broken up in like 10-minute videos. And then whoever is leading the class will kind of take a break and have some social interaction. And then they'll have another about a 10-minute section of the video. And then step two is what most people are familiar with. It's the personality assessment. It's the ministry strengths assessment. And that's all led by that couple that's in there teaching it. So there's very little video in that.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You kind of ease in on the first week, you know, and, you know, they'll hopefully make a relational connection. And then obviously then the next week is where we get a little more personal down into them and where they're at and, you know, that kind of thing.
I'd really try to encourage all of our dream team coaches to go into Growth Track between the services and just introduce themselves as well.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great little hack. I love that. Just drop by. Hey, can you drop by these rooms just to say hi as people come and go? And do you run those at both services or just one service?
One service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's cool. Well, Bo, I really appreciate you being with us today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can email me at BEAU. That's my first name. It's French. It's my mom's fault. BEAU at lifepointchurch.tv.
Nice. Well, and Bo means beautiful, doesn't it?
It means actually good looking is what it means. Handsome and good looking. So my mom was prophesying into my life. So
That's great. Well, Bo, I appreciate being on the show today. Thank you so much for investing in us. Really appreciate all your help today, and you have a great day. Take care.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.